Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
June 7, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And welcome to Tuesday, that is. And most people would not even recognize it because you're catching this further on down the stream. The live audience, really low mostly lately. But I know you're still downloading the podcast, so welcome to this one. Now, last week we got a treat, and we're getting a treat again. And I don't know why, but we got 2 hours with Christy Aphrodite instead of one. And don't get used to it, because I don't know if that's the way she's going to roll. It was decided a little while before we went live, okay? And you never know what's going to happen on this show lately, especially because I don't know what's going on for me, so never know what kind of mindset you're going to get. And hey, I do schedule some people ahead of time and all that, and some people are regulars, and you know, they factor into this as well. We're all along for the ride. Let's see how it goes. Okay, it's that simple. Anyway, Christy Aphrodite's with me. Oh, and you can be with me if you want to. 319-527-5016. The phone lines are open. 319-527-5016. They are open now. They will be open for the remainder of the 2 hours, which I started slightly late, so we might go like a minute over, something like that. But I think we can get to a lot of things in 2 hours, because we certainly did last week. Christy Aphrodite, you know, somebody contacted me this week and said, never heard of her before. What in the hell are you doing? And I said, well, we're talking about natural solutions and things that could be just laying around that you don't have to go to the grocery store and pay some scumbag who is figuring out how to genetically modify and then deliver things to you from far, far away that are probably not good for you and might not even be food. How does that sound to you? Well, that's a good idea. I said, well, then listen to the show. Because they apparently just caught a piece and said, Christy Aphrodite, you guys are having a weird conversation. I said, every conversation I have is weird, and Christy makes it weirder. And guess what? It's all good. So, yeah, that's a conversation I had this week. I'm like, how do you not know who Christy is? I thought you were listening to me for a bunch of years, and I know that she's been around more than once. So, what the hell? Anyway, it doesn't matter. If you don't find value in this, I don't know how to help you. It's that simple. Because it would be nice to participate in the natural order of things around you. It would be good to consume things that are actually, I don't know, healthy and helpful. It would be nice if your food was your medicine, instead of paying big pharmaceutical companies to ram things into your body that you don't necessarily understand, nor do you want. Okay, which are not helpful to you. Yeah, how about that? And this is somebody who's living her life this way, growing what it is she consumes, and she's got a lot to teach, whether it's gardening, cooking, the use of different things in medicinal ways. A lot of stuff she can teach you by telling you about her experiences. So, you know, if you're new to this, sit down, shut up, and take some in. Okay, it's just that simple. That's the way I'm putting it, because that's the mood I'm in. But we're going to see what mood Christy's in, and also those of you that are used to this and know this and are quite on with this deprogram, as it were, yeah, you're going to be happy to. And join us, like I said. You can call in 319-527-5016. I love hearing from you guys. I'd love to hear from you guys about anything that we're talking about tonight, or if you have questions, concerns, something that you would like to have entered into the discussion regarding, again, the natural world and actually participating in it fully, as opposed to just looking at the pretty flowers and assuming that that's all they're good for. You know what? You can eat some of those things. Did I just say that? I did. Yeah, and these are just a few of the things that we've covered in the past few weeks. So with that, and enough out of me, because I'm not the most natural living guy, but it's good to try, isn't it? And when I do, I usually do better, by the way. But that's the whole thing I was talking about last night when I was thinking out loud. So enough of all of that. Christy, now that you've got a sense of my mood, And you've got a sense of, well, you've got your own sense of where you're going to go anyway, which I love about you, because no matter what I think or what I think we're going to do or how I think I might control the conversation or whatever, it might be my show, but we are not, I am not in charge here. So the listeners might decide the topics. You might decide the topics. We might be inspired by the muses and the spirits of the things that are growing around you and me and everywhere else. Because, yeah, we're just along for the ride. I think I said that earlier. Christy, how you doing tonight?
Chuck, I'm feeling a little weird today. So I'm not sure I'm in the right place or not.
Okay.
I'm just going off of what you said about having some weirdo nobody's ever heard of on your show. So, and yeah, I am weird. Chuck's weird. We're all weird. And I think we should all, like, express our weirdness in whichever way we're weird, instead of spend our lives trying to suppress it and medicate it and hide it, because sometimes, or maybe all the time, that weirdness is that little spark of uniqueness that makes you who you are. So thanks. And yeah, I'm cool with being weird.
Excellent.
Always good to be here.
Excellent. And look, I'm going to be making some soup later, because even though I was having a little difficulty collecting food earlier in the week, just somehow or other, I got gifted, an overabundance of some stuff that somebody else grew nearby.
Nice.
And it's pretty fascinating, because, I mean, it's not a wide variety of stuff, but it's a hell of a good starter. They gave me a bunch of carrots, and they gave me a bunch of potatoes and onions.
Wow.
And apparently they had so many, they're worried that these things are going to go bad, because it just kind of grew up from their messy little crazy garden, and they have so much they can't eat it all. So,
wow, good for them and good for you. What are you going to do with it all?
I'm going to make some soup, for starters, because, you know, I don't know, carrots, potatoes, and onions, that sounds to me like I can make soup, and that'll work. Lots of nutrition in there. Root-type vegetables are a good thing to have.
Right.
You know, that's my first thought. I'm sure I'll find other things to do with it. But
if you have a million carrots, have you considered roasting them and then pureeing them as the broth?
Well, you can do all kinds. You can actually make cookies out of them if you want to. That's another thing.
That is true. And cake.
And cake.
Carrot cake, baby.
Uh-huh. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Cookies and cake can be made out of carrots. You can make a pudding sort of thing if you want. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to go. And also, you can just roast them and eat them. There's nothing wrong with that either.
Oh, I love roasted everything.
Yeah, I mean, and while you roast it, you can add other flavors. And, that's right, we can add other herbs. And those herbs could contribute not just to the flavor, but to the usefulness of the nutritional value. I almost hate to use that phrase, you know, because the people that usually use that phrase have no idea of value or nutrition.
Right.
Which is weird, you know, because...
And yeah, you know, I mean, these topics aren't for everyone. I get that. Not everybody's interested in living a more connected to nature lifestyle. And, you know, we're not all the same. So... You know, it's okay. yeah, if you are here, you know, feel free to ask questions and stuff. I think we were gonna, I mean, we can always talk about flowers and herbs and such, as I've been harvesting and preparing a ton this week of every kind. I just picked some hollyhocks today to make medicine with, as we talked about, I think, like, the last 4 weeks, flower power type topic, and how all of these beautiful flowers we're used to seeing in springtime, from wisteria to rose to lavender, peonies, lilacs, forsythias. I can't even remember all of them. Gardenias, but they don't just smell nice. They're absolutely food and medicine. And, you know, with rising prices and cost of living and everything going on right now, I mean, that 8.5% inflation that they are claiming is an absolute joke. Everything has more than doubled. And I posted a little video, hopefully you saw that last week, when I had a craving for an avocado. And I bought four avocados, two creams, one of those deli piece of smoked salmon, and and two of those small little fruit juices that when I don't have time to eat or whatever, it's a nice luxury item, and I just whatever. I was grateful to have it.
You know, as
so
a luxury
that
item,
wasn't even one meal.
Right.
And it was $54.
Oh, I should have taken part in that guessing, because honestly, I saw that come up and you said, if somebody can tell me how much this cost, I'll give you, what was it, two nights free over here with me at the farm?
3-day, 2-night stay at Ozarks Church of Nature. There were a lot of guesses, and they all ranged from $33 to $80.
My guess was going to be $53.
$54. My guess was a couple cents shy.
My guess was going to be $53, actually, because I know the price
of
these
things. Well, you won, but the travel isn't included, unfortunately. So we got to get people who care about your well-being that... You know, like, so I'm good in herbs and flower department. Other people are good at making money department. And, you know, hopefully you have one or two of those listeners to get you here.
Well, look, if the expenses can get handled for travel, we'll figure it out. But till then, here I sit. I don't hardly leave the house at this point. It's not a good thing. I mean, I do go outside. It's not like I don't go outside at all, but I don't go anywhere. You know, it's just, well, gas is too expensive to do anything.
There's a lot of crazy stuff going on, and that's why I think, you know, maybe shifting gears into a more tangible how-to DIY coping with these skyrocketing prices of everything everywhere we go.
No, definitely.
How much are you paying for gas out there these days? And if you're listening in the text chat, people post your number and location.
Yeah, go right ahead. I mean, legendarily, there's one place in California that I guess is now up to like $8 or something, or maybe it's 10. but I mean, that's not the national average. That's not even close. I think we're a little like about 4.25 here, I think. But
were 4.69 yesterday.
Yeah, well, it will vary, you know.
And I'm small town Arkansas.
Yeah, but see, the trouble with small town Arkansas is that some, you know, truck driver has to haul that out there, so it adds to every step of the journey.
Right, no, but even in the city, in fact, because I have to go to cities occasionally.
Right.
And I took the same pictures of the same price there.
Oh.
It's like somebody calls them all up in every single gas station. Doesn't matter if you're the closest one to me that's like 13 miles or if you're in a city that's like 30 miles. It's the same price.
Well, you know, look, prices are set almost by corporate offices for the major chains. But here's a little thing I know about the industry is that we actually have survey companies, or we take our own surveys when we're running stations, and you figure out what about the price range is. And again, there are legal restrictions on how much you can raise or lower your gasoline. And you try and find your pocket in there. And generally that means most people end up in exactly the same spot. It's weird. And it's usually by survey and by comparison. And some people will benefit off of that when they're able to get a cheaper load or whatever, depending, you know, independents function differently. Some of them even go through a bidding process to get the gas. So it's a shifting thing that should change radically, and you should see competition, but you don't. Because here's the reality. If you know that a gas station nearby or a gas station a couple of miles away is able to charge a certain price, whether you need to hit that price point or not, you can, because nobody's going to travel, say, like 10 miles to save 2 cents.
Right. So they'll stop at the most convenient. Just for me to go to the post office, Chuck, to like mail, say, an $11 or $18 order. How much does it cost?
Let's see now. If you got to travel, let's just say you have a vehicle. I don't know how many miles it gets, but you're on country roads, so you don't got a lot of traffic lights, right?
No, but we have tractors, deer, cows.
Okay.
Sometimes it's you'd be surprised.
All right, so you don't wear out your brakes as much as you do in a more populated area, but you do have plenty of slowdown, so you got idle time. I don't know. Let's just go with a generalized idea. Let's say you get 20 miles to the gallon, right? How far away is the post office about?
So it's $7 for me to get to the closest post office for me to mail things.
Is that one way?
And for me to go to town, like to get plants or wood or screws or straw or something like that, it's over $20 just in gas.
Now, is that one way or is that round trip?
That's round trip.
Well, the $7, not too terribly bad, right? I mean, it's sort of absorbable, but you got to factor that in.
You're mailing an $11 order.
Yeah, there's the trouble, is now you got to add that. You know, shipping and handling. Well, part of that shipping is now you driving there with it. That's part of the journey now.
All the shipping goes straight to the post office. And everything goes out priority, right? So they get it in 2 days, and it's fresh as can be. And if it's creams or something, it's also shipped with a reusable non-toxic gel pack in a Mylar bubble wrap container.
Oh, each of those things cost money too, so I don't even know how you're mailing an $11 package.
You should look it up. It's not cheap.
No, I don't know how you're mailing an $11 package, honestly, because by the time you're done paying for all that...
I can't even, like, why would somebody... I mean, I'm, you know, not going to knock it, but I'm just saying the shipping's the same whether you order $1 or $5 or $150.
Oh, wow.
So, when I see that when I'm ordering stuff, I always want to load it up and get as much as possible, you know, one item or something here and there but I'm definitely not pocketing shipping money.
Yeah, no, it's not. You know, it used to be that you actually could sometimes with mail order stuff. Because, but then again, guess what? The shipping rates have all gone up too. So, you know, there was a little space.
They sure did. And they said they were going to be temporary when they went up last year and just through the holiday season. And after the holiday season, my first receipt, I thought they charged me for the wrong thing. Mm. So the temporary actually went up higher from that.
Well, you know, and I tried to mail a book to Canada a couple of months ago, not deep into Canada, like in the wilderness or anything, just into Canada, right? And, it was like $30. It was a book.
Yeah, the out-of-country shipping is astronomical.
A book.
Package is easily $30. I've had a couple in the 27 or 8.
Yeah.
Maybe for like one little tiny thing. But yeah, it's always 30, 40, 50, even higher.
Yeah. No, I know. I sent Kim to the post office, but I sent her there with a $20 bill, thinking, well, you know, I mean, how much could it be to send a book? Wrong.
Used to have something called media mail that was like super cheap, and you could mail books and CDs or pamphlets, information, things like that. It was a separate category. They also reduced the number of size boxes you can use for the priority, which is, so I use the priority again because it gets there in 2 days most places,
right?
And like 95% of the places, and it everything you can fit in the container. is the same price.
Right.
So that usually works out. But they had this one size that was a little bigger than the bubble envelope, but that's no more. So it goes from like $10 up to, I think there might be one that's like 16 or 17. Right. But we're talking domestic here, yeah. You know, not out of the country.
Yeah, no, so. Out of the country, it's insane. But I realize this. I mean, I remember when I was really active in mail order with a record company. You know, $5 was fair for almost everything we could possibly ship, because we actually didn't have to spend the full $5 usually. And it was priority back then too. And it, like right. you know, and the same principle applies. Yeah. You stuff the package, and that package is the same price. You know, I've seen those things go out heavy, heavy, heavy. I mean, because CDs, along with jewel cases and everything else, there was a time when those things were heavy, and that's when I was right. shipping. So you know, 10 CDs was actually a fairly substantial weight, but I could send that, or I could send, you know, one record. In the same package, and it would be the same price almost, and it didn't matter about the weight because it was the size of the package, and they had their standard sizes.
Right.
But you know,
well, listen to how crazy this is too. So I used to be able to send priority and everything quick in my own that I bought yellow bubble envelopes, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And it would usually be less than their packaging, right?
Right.
But now even the smallest of those yellow bubble envelopes with one tiny little thing in it costs more than using the big bubble wrap. So I'll just, if it's just one or two things, then I'll just fill it up with the air bubbles, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, so I can't even really use my own damn envelopes anymore.
No point.
Well, I could, but I pay more.
Yeah, no point in it, because even the small one that used to fit like one CD or whatever, you know, like roughly the size of a small comic book in total size, right, in total area. Yeah, no, that thing is more than one of their priority envelopes now. It doesn't matter, so forget it. And media mail, okay, they still do that.
Problems. Let's talk about solutions, right? So the reality is that prices everywhere across the board are skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. I honestly, when I bought those avocados, cream, one piece of salmon, and juice at the grocery store for $54. Mm. It hurt my heart because I'm thinking, how are people eating and surviving? That wasn't even a meal, you know, and feeding families and such. So, and it's not all bad. I'm sure this is an unpopular opinion, but let me tell you, I don't have to point out that there's an overabundance of overweight and obesity in the United States. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying people should starve themselves or anything, but what I am saying is that this is a good opportunity to really streamline what we need versus what we want. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to make it through this inflation and, you know, that's not going to stop anytime soon and still be able to pay a rent and things like that, it's kind of natural that we're going to have to chip away at some things in our life, right? And so, you know, some people like bodybuilders or, you know, weightlifters and stuff, I know, like they'll eat, or at least used to eat, like for calories. They were just fixated on number of calories. Mm. Didn't really care too much, you know, where they come from. But I think now we need to be focused on nutrition and getting the most bang for our buck. Mm. And I'm not just talking in food and beverage and medicine, but everything we use across the board, right? Mm. Whether it's cable or a phone or subscription services or insurance services or, you know, different things that we have that we don't need. And I went through this long ago as a single mother and in a wheelchair and no help, okay? So the first thing, clearly, that I had to do was reduce expenses, right? And so we really are at a time that we need to start thinking about that, right? People's paychecks are not increasing. Like for me to get a job doing what I do best, which is in, you know, restaurant service, food, and really it's kind of, I mean, I don't have skills in the normal, appreciated skills in the normal world, right? So the best job I can get around here is $7.25 an hour. And clearly that's not cutting it, right? So I want to answer people's questions, whether on the phone or in the chat, and you're Chuck, you know, like, let's assess, like, the products that we think we need, right? Toothpaste, deodorant, hair gel, or, you know, all of these things we are accustomed to, and how we can make our own products so that we are less dependent on the super expensive poisons that we've grown accustomed to in the grocery store, right? Mm-hmm. And little things, I mean, even cheap ways to start growing food for people who think they can't grow food, you know? So I want to just, as you mentioned earlier, go with the flow. I want to know what you guys want to know and how I can help you make your life easier by reducing expenses, maximizing, you know, what you're getting from each dollar. And obviously, this is not financial advice, but buy low, sell high, you know, all the financial markets. And I know you have your experts, so I'm not going to talk about that. But if you do have a couple extra pennies or something, you know, look all throughout history, a lot of millionaires and more were birthed of crashes like this. Mm-hmm. Right. So everybody's situation is different, right? Are we living paycheck to paycheck? Are we, can we not feed ourselves enough? You know, what's the, so that's why I want to go with the flow and want to know what you guys want to know.
Right. And look, it goes well beyond food, but that is the easiest thing. I mean, look, to go a day without eating, yes, occasionally people will do that, but generally speaking, you're not comfortable if you're doing that. So getting the most bang for your buck that way is the most clear and obvious way to begin to change things. Look, because if you're doing it on a daily and you can figure out how to even save a dollar on the daily, that, you know, turns into 30 at the end of a month, right? So, you know, just saying, there's always a way to go. But it is tough because a lot of the crap is still cheaper than the real food. Even though it's all gone up, and I get it. Somebody looks at, you know, package of cookies, right? You go to the Save-A-Lot. I don't know if you've been to a Save-A-Lot, Christy, but you go to a Save-A-Lot, and there's a lot of stuff in there for $1.29, and you go, okay, so that's food. But when you look at the contents of the food, it's not really food, but
it's,
I get
food.
It. You know, many a day, believe me, I would have begged for a package of the cookies that are probably made of nothing that resembles food because it was better than nothing. And that's part of the choice you start to make when you're trying to figure out, okay, I got three people to feed. I know we can all eat out of this package. May not be good for us, but we can do it. Little tough when you're trying to sell them on, well, and the other thing is, not everybody wants to go to the store every day because that's another way to cut down immediately. You don't want to keep going all the time because we just talked about the fuel issue, and you should be efficient about this and go as little as possible because that way you're saving on your travel expense, which purely to begin with is, you know, not only your time and whatever aggravation you got to go through, but the gasoline price, which is up. And I know some people say, well, you know, don't complain about it. America's gas price is not as bad as XYZ, look, it's an extra pressure. And if you can save
Let me tell you something else to people who say that. Do you know, like, we're paying $100 or more for internet here, every single household in this country, where other European countries are paying $30 a month.
Yeah.
And free phone service. And you know what I'm saying? So every place has their thing. We can't compare apples to oranges. Mm-hmm. We're all in, you know, our own little reality, right? But the one thing that's in common is it doesn't matter where you are. Things are going, you know, power bills more than doubling and such. So how, and that's why I'm a big advocate of doing more for ourselves. And these things are not hard at all. Look, when I was homeless and living in a van and a storage unit, I was making my own toothpaste, my own deodorant, my own lotions, you know what I'm saying? My own products. And I was doing that when I lived in a house, right? So if somebody in a van can do that without utilities and running water, anyone can with just a few simple household ingredients, right? Laundry soap or things like that. And maybe, you know, mothers, I don't know how they're doing it these days, but they might want to consider reusable diapers. We all grew up on reusable diapers, you know? Squirt them off and freaking wash them. Yep. Like, we've become such a society based on convenience and, honestly, entitlement. We expect everything to be done for us, or it has to be as easy as a push of a button. And that's just not reality, okay? None of our ancestors lived that way. And, you know, I don't have to tell anybody that society has gone up in dependency level and down in self-sufficiency level, right? So I think anyone who's serious about making it through and you don't have some crazy cush government or CIA or whatever job, then, you know, what's important to you? How can we cut corners? It's simply, you know, shopping for calories or price is not the best thing for our body, for our emotional health, for our physical health. Okay, because, you know, a lot of people that do that, $1.29 food, right, to feed the family, are buying $11 or $13 packs of cigarettes. And I'm not saying not to smoke. I smoke all sorts of stuff, most of which I grow myself, not weed or that weed, because it's not legal. But, you know... Like, where are our priorities? And that's why this squeeze, like feeling like we're in the trash compactor in the first Star Wars movie, where everything is caving in and we're you know, most of us that are on a path and following our purpose, we're going to find new ways. So whether that's, you know, instead of falling for the standard American diet myth that's left 70% plus of Americans on pills, maybe we don't need those three meals and three snacks a day. Maybe, look, here's my diet. I eat one meal a day, period. So it's basically like a fast every day. And sometimes I'll fast, or if I feel like I need more food because I'm working harder or whatever, I'll eat it. But I really don't need it. I live off of herbal teas and, you know, things that I grow here, boiled in water. And many cultures, as we've discussed before, they boil rocks in water for minerals. So there's simple things that we can do, whether we're growing our own garden or just walking outside our house and picking some free food and medicine, right? And we don't need to go too much into that because we've done that on at least a half a dozen shows already, right?
Right. Well, I would say something here, though, because, look, you're talking about one meal a day, and I don't want to hear that I'm being sexist here. I got to be honest with you. I think due to the fact that you are, well, let's see, gender, you're a woman. Okay.
I think so, but I'm not really sure because I'm not a biologist, Chuck.
Yeah, well, neither am I, but that's my best guess. So I'm going to say that you are, and generally speaking, now I'm going to make a generalization, perhaps being of the feminine gender makes your body a little more efficient. Because I got to be honest with you, even when I've known guys who are cutting down and women who are cutting down and deciding to go to a different framework, you know, not the three meals a day, you know, which is a leftover thing from, I don't know, the 1950s. You know, the truth is a lot of guys need two meals. And I find that I at least I do need to eat twice a day.
Okay, so
but everybody's different.
Everyone is different.
Everyone is different. First of all, right? Right.
We're not all the same, and so this is not an across-the-board statement. But some people can benefit by regular fasting. Mm-hmm. This has been my way of life for quite a while. I used to do the three meals. I would have a pound of bacon, literally, it cooked in the microwave. For breakfast, and I was healthy, a nutrition major on the Atkins diet, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then, yeah, steak and, you know, it was just ridiculous and grotesque. And we don't need as much food as we've been programmed to have. And most of the reason that we overeat or eat more or feel we need more is because our minerals are not in balance and our body is not getting what it needs. So you cannot trick your brain into just eating filler foods all day. You're still going to be hungry, mm-hmm. right? So what I am advocating, I'm not saying everybody needs a fast, but I'm saying that we could make better choices with what we do eat and, you know, get more bang for our buck as far as nutrition levels and minerals are concerned. So that's whether you're buying it in a grocery store or whether you're picking the dandelions or the hollyhocks or the blackberry leaves and violets right outside your door.
Yeah, hollyhocks, by the way. You mentioned them twice now. I'm just curious, what are the positive points of those? Because I don't know them well. And I do not know what somebody would choose to use them for. I know they are consumable, but I don't know much else about them.
Okay, so they're also known as mallow, all right, if people have heard of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mallow is what people make marshmallows from, mm-hmm. right? So it's part of that family. And it's another edible herb, right? And so one thing we need to consider is when they tell us that a herb or flower or something is edible, just replace that with edible and medicinal, because there's not one single edible herb out there or weed out there that doesn't have medicinal contents higher than any of our traditional foods that we could grow and make ourselves, right? Like, I could grow the best tomato, cucumber, squat, whatever, eggplant for Chuck in the world, but none of it, and doesn't even matter how I prepare it, none of it is going to even be able to compete with the vitamins, minerals, flavonoids, terpenes, and such of these plants. So hollyhock, getting back to your question, has been used to relieve congestion, kidney stones. It's a mucilaginic, right? So bladder inflammation, like UTIs. I might have said kidney stones, kidney disorders.
Right.
Also, I think I said chest congestions, fevers, hay fevers including, bronchitis, fevers, colds, just pretty much like echinacea and many other herbs out there. Some people make like a swish to if they have like sore gums or a sore throat. And it's also used as a wound healer. And by the way, you can use the entire plant, including the root. Some people believe that the flowers have the most medicine, the higher medicinal contents. There are reports on PubMed.gov and various other places, ScienceDirect, WebMD, etc.
Right.
But it's also used as a wound healer because of its anti-inflammatory properties, and used somewhat like a plantain or yarrow, where you can put it directly on your wound. There's so much. So,
you know, listening to you very carefully. Well, I want to break in again, because listening to you very carefully over the past many weeks, I happen to notice something, that there are a great many common plants that that can grow wild and grow in various regions. Of course, everybody's region is a little bit different. If you're in the U.S., which is where most of the listeners are. But one of the common things I keep hearing you say is anti-inflammatory. Now, that is a curious thing, because one of the most common issues where somebody has pain, and I'm one of these people with chronic pain, and certainly when I can control inflammation, even though I don't have arthritis, by the way, but arthritis is, one of these issues that is very common. But a lot of people have various types of inflammation, and it seems to me like a whole lot of this stuff, which is not necessarily sold in your grocery store, okay, but is growing wild, has the qualities in it that should, I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, if you ate a bunch of these things, a variety of these things with anti-inflammatory properties, it just seems logical to me that you would automatically reduce your pain level. And right. there's a reason why I'm bringing
this
up. It's an
absolute fact. Mm. In fact, the one common denominator of all types of pain is inflammation, right? So the more wild foods you get, so basically the wild foods in nature will undo or may help us. Like, after you eat the stuff in the store, you have to go to nature to, you know, hopefully counteract some of those negative effects. But yeah, Chuck, I'm glad you pointed that out and noticed it, because I can't think of one single herb or flower out there that doesn't have that property. And probably 90% have published studies on its efficacy against cancer, AIDS, like all of these things that we're told no cure for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I have yet to find one weed, tree, anything out there that has no medicinal content.
Right. Well, interesting
including
thing.
Including the so-called poisonous ones.
Right. Now, interesting thing, we are taking calls, and I know I mentioned it at the top, but we do have a caller, and we could have more if you listening right now live. If you're hearing us at about, 8:45, I guess, here in the Eastern time zone, of what we used to call America, on Tuesday, June 7. God, I'm all over the place here. Anyway, if you're hearing us at about that time, you could call in. So it's June 7, 2022, and it's just about 8:45. Where I'm sitting in the eastern part of the U.S., okay? But we do have one caller, and I encourage others, 319-527-5016, and like to stay, you know, in the corridors of the topic, if you will, but bring up whatever you like, and let's talk about the natural application of things that may or may not be growing wild or that you could cultivate, etc. I think all of these things are valuable. And of course, we started talking about how it is you could save yourself some money. And I'm just thinking to myself, again, if you cut down on your inflammation, I know naproxen and some other stuff, even though I saw a study, I think it was this week, about acetaminophen, which is in like everything. You know, one of those things they tell you, it's okay, it's safe, it's great for pregnant women and all.
Nope.
That always frightens me. But yeah, but that's what they tell you until they tell you otherwise, because these things change.
Oh, yeah. We just found out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly. Mm-hmm. But anyway, leaving it at that, I'm just saying there. If it seems like you could consume things that have all sorts of benefits, multifaceted, and you could interlock them to create less of an inflammatory situation, I don't know. Seems like the logical thing to do. But let's go to the caller, Christy, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so it's the 724 area code. I have no idea who you are, but welcome to the show. And how are you?
Hi, Chuck. My name's Kevin. I'm a first-time caller. And I'm really enjoying your shows with Christy. I've only been listening since you started this series with Christy. And I just really don't have a question per se, or I don't know if I can add anything to the conversation, but I just felt the need to call you guys and say, you know, this has been incredible, the information and the knowledge that you're sharing. And, you know, and screw these people that don't get positive and, you know, solutions.
Right.
You know, because we know everybody loves negative news, but, you know, I'm just trying to call to say thank you. And, you know, I feel like I could compile a book on just the shows you've already done. It's been incredible.
Hey, Kevin, I know who you are.
I figured you'd recognize my voice.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I'm just calling to say thank you.
Well, I really appreciate you joining us. I mean, I guarantee you there's something, though, that you could have in mind that we could maybe share together here and enlighten somebody else about something one way or another. Possibly you could enlighten me. I I'm willing to share this all different ways. So,
Kevin, you've been here. I mean, do you have any questions or how to make your own anything or... You've seen other people's lifestyle and you've seen mine. What do you think about it?
The number one thing, and even in the 90s, I would go back that far, laundry detergent has always been obscenely overpriced, you know? And I've seen your videos, I think you did them 20 years ago. You were doing videos in your van about how to make your own detergent, you know, like laundry detergent. And it's so simple. And I've seen you do it. And like, and the cost savings, you know, and in this time of inflation, I mean, I think that's a perfect one to highlight.
Well, okay, you know what? You brought it up earlier, Christy. So, are you prepared to give us a little clinic on how somebody could do that? If they
absolutely this is my favorite, and it's so simple. And the reason it's my favorite is because it's multi-purpose. You can use it not only as laundry soap, you can use it as like carpet fresh, right? Or bug killer, say you have like pets with fleas or something like that. You can also use it as like a soft scrub kind of thing. So the ingredients you need are borax, baking soda, washing soda, Fell's naphtha. It's like a dollar bar soap in the same place where you'll find the borax, washing soda, and baking soda in those whatever size 3-pound containers or something they are. It's always on the bottom shelf or super tall shelf of whatever store you go to because they don't really want to sell them. Okay, then you just need a bowl, you need a grater, and then your choice of essential oils based on your needs, right? So out here in the Ozarks, we have every bug ever imaginable. So I like to use bug repellents or, you know, antifungals, things like that. So I'll use like lavender, eucalyptus, tea tree, etc. But so all you need... Basically, open those three boxes, borax, washing soda, and baking soda.
Mm-hmm. Baking.
Dump them in a big bowl, then get your cheese grater and grate a 1 or 1.5 or 2 bars, depending on your preference, of the Fell's naphtha. Grate that right in there, and then get your essential oils. And then drop it on there and use your hands or a wooden spoon or whatever. Mix it up and stick it in your container. And that's going to last you at least 6 months. Simple as that.
Six months.
There's many ways. Some people like liquid types. I don't because it's not necessary. It's just super simple, basic. clean, it works, it doesn't damage your septic. In fact, it improves your septic, right? Baking soda in the septic is a thing, mm-hmm. kind of thing, right? And a natural bleach, right? So, and there are videos, but I'm pretty sure I spelled that out slow enough for hopefully anyone to be able to get it. And look, I'm seeing on the chat, borax is also an excellent non-toxic ant killer. If you can, absolutely. And okay. he's saying mix, or he or she, sorry, or the other 50, sorry.
Whatever, they.
Borax with equal parts sugar and yeah. set it out for the ants. That's absolutely right. Lucemp, or however you say that in the chat. You can do, if you have roaches or anything like that, sprinkle borax. So, yeah, it, all of those are multi-purpose uses, right? And you're not going to have any toxic chemicals. And a lot of people with skin conditions, dermatitis, things like that, they don't know. You know, they always think that they're allergic to something that they're actually not. And many times, people break out after they use a new soap just because of the residue on the clothes, right? Whether in a laundromat or some of the commercially available ones, right? So people that I know personally who have had bad reactions to laundry soap, whether because they were on the road or they didn't know better or whatever, they switched to this and they had no problems.
Mm. Two quick questions for you. One is, you know, first of all, a lot of us have pets. You know, I got four dogs at the moment, and Lucy's pregnant again, so we'll see. And you know, so I'm curious about that. Is it okay if the, you know, pets get themselves into things, as they do sometimes, especially when they're puppies or, you know, kittens or whatever?
Yeah, so you can definitely, and especially if you have bugs or puppy, you know, they piddle, right? And mm-hmm. you probably don't want that smell in your home, so dump that soap, or just the straight borax or whatever. But I like the soap because of the fragrance, you know, the how I've mixed it, right? Because of the fragrance, it'll kill bugs, you know what I mean? And then vacuum it up, but use that even to like clean up their piddles and such, right? If mm-hmm. they do have fleas or anything like that and hop on the floor, they're gonna die. There's also many other ways to keep your home completely bug free, and you're hearing this from somebody with, well, I'm not sure how many cats I have right now because a couple have disappeared, but yeah. somewhere between 15 and 17 cats, indoor, outdoor.
Okay.
And yeah, so again, like simple ingredients anyone can use. First of all, food grade diatomaceous earth. You want that not only to, again, kill their bugs and such, or also kill their parasites and your own, also chock full of minerals and silica, which turns to calcium, which, you know, better skin, hair, nails, and everything else. So diatomaceous earth will also keep your house bug-free. And then simple things like rubbing alcohol, you know, isopropyl, spray with clove and cedar. That if you spray your carpets or bedding or this and that, you will never have a bug in your house again. And even if one flies in the middle of the night, because you know how they hang out by the light and you open the door or whatever and they get in, they're going to be dead on the floor by morning.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some more simple ways to keep your house bug free in a non-toxic way.
Okay, so one other question, because somebody might not know at all, but these are things that I don't commonly see in a lot of stores that you described, but where would we go to get them? Are they all in one place, or are we going to have to, I mean,
right.
look, baking soda's okay. everywhere, but
yeah,
other than that.
So like I said, it doesn't matter what store you're at, anywhere in the country, the borax and the washing soda, and usually baking soda, it's always going to be on the very bottom or the very top of the laundry aisle. And
yeah,
that's
yeah, they're
going to
hide them from you because they're cheap.
Right. Well, even those prices have gone up, but still, it's, you know, to me, it's better than any of the alternatives. Yeah, so right. there, and the Phil's Naphtha bar soap, that'll be all right next to that. So in any store, any part of the country, usually the super bottom shelf, but a couple times I've seen them at the top. So yeah, and you can use that as your carpet freshener. You can use that to eliminate odors. You can use that to kill bugs. You can, you know, there's so, and then to scrub your toilet, or, you know, it's multi-purpose. Right. Not that you need the full recipe to scrub your toilet, because you could just be using baking soda and white, cheap distilled vinegar. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you don't want to use that vinegar for like pickling, or, you know, you don't want to take it internally, but it's an excellent cleaner.
Right. Well, it's interesting because, you know, they're, you know how they always had those $19.99 and they're now $29.99 products out there, you know, as seen on TV. It's interesting to me, over the past couple of years, they're actually marketing a bug spray, which is almost altogether essential oils and a few other components like vinegar. And they're saying, you know, look, this is way better, but it's just one of these like niche products out there. And they want you to keep ordering, you know, obviously your refills through them, which I think right. is part of the situation there. But this
so
stuff
we can
be
make
made.
Our own,
yeah.
right? Inflation and all of this stuff. And I'll just, I tell people, like, if you have pets and indoor, outdoor, and you seriously never want to see a bug again, don't buy your stuff from me, because I can't produce it in the type of quantity that you need to keep your house bug free at an affordable price, right? So go buy like the clove and the cedar essential oils, like for the best price and the highest volume out there. And keep in mind, you're using it for spray. You don't need top quality, right? You're not taking it internally. You're not, you're not putting it on your skin. But buy those at Bulk Apothecary. And I don't get anything for saying that. I'm just saying that's where you can get the best price for bulk quantities. And they have multiple different types, so get the cheapest. And I want to throw this out there, the alcohol and clove, you don't want to spray on your pets, because they could be sensitive to that, right?
Yeah.
So spray, you can, most people can handle isopropyl alcohol, right? It's in every product on the shelves.
Yeah.
So but, you know, spray it on your clothes or something before you go outside. And lemongrass, by the way, if you want to make a spray for your pets, do the clove, lemongrass, witch hazel, and water. And why the lemongrass? If you're in a place that has ticks, like the Ozarks and all of, I think, the whole eastern U.S., you know, chiggers and all of that crazy stuff. By the way, this is on PubMed.gov. Lemongrass not only repels and kills ticks, it kills Lyme disease. And these ingredients here, and I'll pull up some links for you, the studies prove that they work better than DEET. That's their own words. So I will search for that study and get that link in the text chat for you.
Great.
So not a, you know, and this is kind of why I see the inflation as a good thing, because think about this. First of all, people on city water systems, you're drinking recycled water. So why do you want to put those crappy chemicals there anyways? And those of us on septics, you know, it basically goes out to the land, right? So we don't want to kill stuff. So finding out how to do things that are better and cheaper are almost always non-toxic and has a million other benefits. So, you know.
You know, one last silly question I have about the laundry soap, and then we're going to go to a break. We've got another caller. We could take more in the next hour. But see, Kevin, you inspired this discussion. So there you go. You had something to add. Keep that in mind. And everybody does.
Oh, I guess I did. Thank you.
Yes, you did. But I have a question about that laundry soap, just really quick. You know, for the most part, okay, now everybody's pets are different. I know, you know, some pets are sensitive skin. They're overbred, this and that. I know. But generally speaking, sounds to me like you could use that laundry soap to wash your pet too, a little bit. Or am I wrong about that? You know, because
I'm not sure how the baking soda would react, right? So I would just use Dr. Bronner's.
Okay.
And put it, yeah. You can use Dr. Bronner's soap for anything, really, everything.
Okay. No, fair enough. That's why I asked, because I really didn't know. But it sounded to me like it might not be so bad, but I guess I didn't consider the baking soda. But baking soda is also in and of itself something that's useful in a lot of ways.
Right. So I don't want to say yes, because what if they have sensitive skin? What if they have, you know, bug bites or wounds, flesh wounds, which happen to my cats all the time in the Wild Wild West, right? Mm. So I'm not sure. I would just use Dr. Bronner's. It's nice and gentle. And I want to make clear on the essential oils that I recommended. They are for the cats or dogs or even goats or whatever. The lemongrass and cedar are safe, okay? Mm-hmm. And what's important to know about them is that they kill bugs, right? So there's all sorts of other repellents that people use, like geranium or lavender or mint. And by the way, don't use mint on your cats. They hate it. And, you know, it's not good. Rosemary, yeah. Things like that. But they're just repellents. So these recipes I gave you are the easiest, quickest, the nicest smelling and effective and get it done, boom. There's no need to add any, you know, I mean, yeah, you can spray your animals with lavender and it smells good, but it's not going to kill a bug, right?
Okay.
Yeah, and where you live, Chuck, and where I live and other places in the South where you have those bugs just all around you, look, get a spray bottle, put some water, some alcohol, and some peppermint essential oil, and just, you know, like Logan's Run, dude, shoot on sight. Before they ever get near you, right? And that will kill them mid-air, you know, especially if you have a lot of alcohol in there. Alcohol kills every bug.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, right? So you can use heavy amounts of alcohol, plus it's quick drying. But
it evaporates quickly.
So I bring that bottle with me because flies hate peppermint. They also hate basil and anise. So if you had, say, basil, anise, or peppermint growing in your garden, you could just hang sprigs everywhere, right? Or get an essential oil or diffuse them, or even an infused oil. I have, like, infused lemongrass and peppermint and lavender oil, you know, and I'll just put those directly on my skin, right? So...
Well,
yeah,
look,
there's
fair,
many solutions.
Yes, fair enough. And we're going to continue with these solutions for about another hour. We're going to take a break now, okay? And we're going to get to the caller on the line, but you could join us, 319-527-5016. So far, Kevin has called in. We got one waiting. Who knows who might join us next, and who knows what direction we might go in. We're going with the flow tonight. And so far, we've talked about the economics of things, a way to make your own laundry soap, and, well, a few other solutions that could be offered to you that are a whole lot more natural and economical. How about that? So, double-edged. Let's keep going. Stick around. We'll continue after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Support Chuck O'Chelly at Chili.com. there's no money in it. So
yeah, that is
that's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And, you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported. But quite frankly, I'm on that business model, too. And look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain. Okay, because people want to support you. They love you to death, but honestly...
So if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show. And I want you to do this because, you know, the Acelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his the stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, you know, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
But I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles started to really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Second hour of the Ocelli Effect starts a little late here at Ocelli.com, but of course, if you're catching the podcast further on down the stream by your Fondle Slab of Choice, your applicable application, your podcatcher du jour, doesn't matter. Here we are. Tuesday it is, as we're live, but whatever day you're catching us, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, welcome. But anyway, we are taking calls here. It is about 11 minutes after 9 p.m. in the Eastern time zone on a Tuesday here, which is June again, 7. Interesting times we live in. So anyway, Christy Aphrodite's with me. We are talking about natural solutions, and gratefully we've gotten her for 2 hours again this week. Don't get used to it, though, because she's only really supposed to come on for 1 hour.
I love it, though. If I can make time, I totally will, as long as your people don't think I'm too weird.
No, listen, weird is good, and I'll share a secret with you. I do what I want on the show anyway, and sometimes when it irritates people, I'm even happier.
That's right, it's your show.
So, I will. Sometimes irritating people is actually more fun. And frankly,
they actually like it more.
Yes.
You know, because if they were really that irritated or appalled, why listen?
That's what I keep asking, and I never get an answer to that. It's like, I can't stand you, and I listen to this, and I realize as they reference things, I'm like, you listen to every show that week, and you're pissed off. So 10 hours, you pissed yourself off. What am I supposed to do with you?
Your biggest fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, they spend more time watching the people they hate on than they do what they love, you know?
No,
I know. I think is hilarious, but whatever. Not my circus. Not my monkeys.
No, it's okay, you know, and some people, you know, appreciate pain. I do not, you know, just saying. I mean, look, if you enjoy it, I mean, you do you. But anyway, look, we're not talking about that tonight.
Yeah, different night.
Different night. Who knows? Maybe one of these nights I'll just get a bottle and catch a buzz and have one of those conversations with you. But that'll be a totally different show. Anyways, Kevin is with us, and he inspired the discussion about laundry soap. And before I move on to the next caller, is there anything else you want to get into here, Kevin, or should we move on to, I think it's Chris on hold, and anybody else who wants to join, 319-527-5016. If you're hearing us live, you can join in, inspire a conversation, add something, or ask a question, whatever you like. How can we live a little better and maybe not spend as much money and, you know, God help us all, do something a little more natural as opposed to swimming in the chemical sea of the things that are actually destructive. So how about we focus on that? So, Kevin, anything you want to add, or should I move on to the next caller? And I'll leave you on, but, you know, let's get around, see what else we got. Go ahead.
Let's see if Chris can top log. So.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Okay, so, Chris, sorry it took a little while, but we got some instructions about laundry soap and a few other things, and I like it. I had a few open questions because I'm not entirely familiar with making my own there. And anyway, maybe you got something else on your mind. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on? Good show.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, laundry soap, making your own. No, I'm not really familiar with that. Mm. No, what I was thinking was, I came across a thing where you can make cash for writing online erotica. So I'm doing a little research tonight. That is natural aphrodisiacs, if you guys know of any, just so I can put it in my little, heavy short story here.
Well, before Christy even touches this, which perfectly fine if she does, but, you know, good things that you participate in that are healthy mentally, this is something that could be very healthy mentally for somebody, couldn't it? An emotional outlet so that you're not so pent up and all that kind of stuff. Nothing wrong with it as far as I'm concerned. And if you can make a few dollars, inspiring others to engage in their imaginations as opposed to letting Hollywood or the stupid rectangle or the black mirror, so to speak, dictate it to you. More power to you, my friend. And go Thank for you. It. Erotica is definitely a part of the natural world as well. I don't know if Christy wants to talk about natural aphrodisiacs because I don't know. I don't know much about it.
Never. I actually don't mind because there are plenty in nature, and like some common ones people hear about a lot, like fenugreek or ginger and such. But essential oils are kind of my thing. And in fact, my first Sweet Daisies recipe, and I'm talking from over a decade ago, when I would whip it out like in public or in a bar, and the chicks would put it on, and the dudes could not keep their hands or mouths or anything off them. And
wait a
this
minute,
is
Sweet
hilarious,
Daisies?
But I made a lot of new clients that way. People that, because I lived in Branson, it was like a tourist town.
Oh,
so
yeah.
People would visit there, but then they'd always come back and they'd get another bottle. So yeah, lavender, actually, ling ling, jasmine, even pomegranate, a new, well, it's not a new herb, but it's new to my garden. Clary sage is another one.
Okay.
Neroli, rose geranium, rose, there's actually so many, even like sweet orange, amaryllis. Did I say jasmine already?
Yeah, you did. I want to go back to Sweet Daisies, though, because I don't know that one at all.
Oh, okay. So that's the name of... The recipe has changed since then. I've added more aphrodisiacs and cancer cures. And I didn't say that, but there's a dozen links underneath the product description from PubMed.gov, along with pictures and people's stories. So many of these are definitely considered aphrodisiac. So I'm going to post that link in the text chat right there. And don't just like look at it. Look at the ingredients and then click on the links to find out the chemo preventative effects or the ability to heal neurodegeneration caused by aluminum toxicity and other things. So yeah, most of the ingredients in there also happen to be aphrodisiacs. But yeah, ling ling, jasmine, rose, neroli, like lavender, you make something like that, dude, oh my god. If you had something like that, the girls around you, they would not be able to stop smelling you. It works.
See, I don't know.
Are there any that would accentuate like pheromones and that type of thing? Or am I going off into a weird tangent?
Well, all of those do. And essential oils, and even like products that I make will smell different on other people than they might on you. But right. Yeah. So like foods, though, like I said, you could eat like more fennel or more ginger or let me think, saffron. Even pistachio nuts. What's that? Ginkgo biloba. I planted a tree, but it's super small. Maca, fennel, you know, things like that. You could eat more, but if you want like an instant, oh my god, I gotta eat you right now kind of thing, then that's where you need like the aromatherapy. Oh, and pomegranates is another food, allegedly. Strawberries, chocolate, you know, there's a million that are alleged to have properties to increase your libido, right? Mm. But in the aromatherapy department, the scents are definitely sensual, invigorating, intoxicating. So yeah, if you're looking for a quick fix, definitely check out. Oh, gardenia. How could I forget that? Gardenia, tuberose. See, I'm looking at my own dang ingredients.
See, now what's funny is...
And then... Yeah. Since we're talking about oils, like one question people ask all the time is like decalcifying their pineal gland. Well, frankincense, myrrh, and sandalwood can do that. And they also can be quite intoxicating, especially when mixed with those other known aphrodisiac oils. fragrances.
Well, what are your thoughts on cherries, though, in this cherry blossoms, cherries themselves? Because that, to me, is one of those things that works. I mean, I've said before, vanilla is the best thing to capture my attention always. I love vanilla. I don't know why. It's just one of those things that just...
Vanilla and cinnamon are considered aphrodisiacs. Mm. So, yeah.
You know,
cherries. I love cherries.
Yeah, no.
God, cherries. I just made a cherry blueberry jelly the other day that I then put in a peanut butter jelly swirl banana bread.
That's pretty interesting. You know, what's fascinating to me is I know that there are some guys that are captured a bit by the smell of all sorts of berries. And that's why I think places like the Bath and Body Works stuff, you know, there's a lot of berries involved in those scents and everything for a reason. Okay, I'm not saying that that's the natural way to go, but what I'm saying is it's meant to simulate it. And strawberries are kind of common too, right? I don't know. I've seen these apple things too, and I'm not into the apples, but. Berries.
Tomatoes, their original state is not red, okay? And there's all varieties from white to black to tie-dye, spotted, striped, everything in between. And they were actually, cultivated and hybridized to be red because they were considered aphrodisiacs. So, and you're right on, you know, I mentioned berries earlier. So, you know, different strokes for different folks, right? But there's so many choices.
Well, you know, it's not necessarily
peaches
used
even.
Yeah, it's not necessarily used as a berry, but honestly, botanically, it's a berry tomato. So that's what it is. It's a berry.
Right.
So,
and cherries. I mean, when you bite into something like juicy and sweet. Let me tell you, these strawberries I've been eating from my garden are the best I've had in my life. And it's better than sex. But if there was an opportunity for sex,
I don't know if I go that far. But
those berries, oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know if I've encountered the strawberry that's better than that. But that, again, everybody's an individual, Christy, right?
Yeah, I've never had them like this. They taste like warm sugar water. It's insane. Ooh. It's like, oh,
you gotta love
so
that.
Good.
Well, see, that's the other thing, is that there are a lot of sugary scents that are produced where it's just a sugary type scent. That is not necessarily directly identifiable, but I've seen body sprays that I think are sugar cookie and things like that. That's what they smell like, right? So a sweet scent in essence can easily be something. And again, everybody's an individual. It might evoke different things in different people, but what you're talking about is all sensible. I find it interesting because it is, again, a healthy thing to participate in. So, you know, like I said, from a psychological standpoint, it's also solid. I mean, I enjoy the scent of vanilla anyway, but also it works for me that way. We do have another caller, so I don't know if you want to continue on. Go ahead.
I feel like Korshak and Welcome Back Carter at the moment.
Okay.
So I'm aging myself. I have my hands up. I'm like, oh.
Okay. Do you have the massive fro to go with that?
I have to ask a question. Now that Chris has topped my laundry detergent question, I have to interject this question.
Sure, Kevin, go ahead.
With erectile dysfunction being all the rage these days, I'm wondering, are any of your products, Christy, like topical that could be used for sexual enhancement or... like sexual,
I knew this show was going to happen.
Was that wrong?
No.
Okay, so you asked. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to post the link and with the review. Hang on. Let me look it up. So I have what's called a Pain Be Gone Dream Cream. And people that are into super stimulation, you know, and this was found out accidentally, And of course, when they called to tell me, I couldn't help but laugh my ass off. Let me post this here. But it's a serious thing. And it's real and it's important to them. But yeah, so they were reaching for a different cream and accidentally got the Pain Be Gone. And the Pain Be Gone is full of, let's see, cinnamon, clove, anise, ginger, turmeric, peppermint, wintergreen, menthol, and a bunch of other ingredients, including comfrey. And anyways, so I am looking for, here we go. I'll just read her review.
Oh, okay. And then I have something to add after you do that. Just okay. go ahead.
But you're not a sex doctor, right?
So I'm not the sex doctor. No. So Pain Be Gone is witchcraft, LOL. This is my go-to pain cream. It's super efficient, not overpowering, and 100% organic and homegrown. I don't know how she concocted this formula up, but I suspect she had some help from Mother Gaia herself. I have degenerative discs, and sometimes it's debilitating. I've lost use of my hands and arms for a period of time due to it. The pain is not only unbearable, the nerves are affected also. I have a huge cabinet full of creams, Bengay, Biofreeze, CBD rubs, Tiger Balm, even super expensive top-notch rubs. Nothing has alleviated my pain like Pain Be Gone. And I don't smell like an old lady when I use it. I smell like a damn fairy. Well, what I feel like a garden fairy would smell like. This stuff lives in my purse and goes everywhere with me. A true game changer. Side note, I accidentally discovered one evening that it can be an exhilarating, intimate companion. Mm. So after that, I'm like, okay, dude, we're going into business. And kind of talk to them about it. But yeah, super stimulating, like super long, 30, 40 minute, like, yeah. Men and women were both just as pleased. So there you go. If you're into that kind of stuff.
But I will add this. do what you like to yourself. But my piece of advice is to make sure that if a partner is involved, that they are fully aware that there could be added sensations here. Because
how did we get on this topic, man? Aren't we supposed to be talking about surviving inflation?
Well, we were, but this is the way it went. And thanks to Chris, this is where we're at. So let's continue. Kevin helped.
I'm all right with
so
that.
It's okay.
You're welcome, America.
No problem. But we're doing this the right way. I'm just saying you need to inform the partner, whether they are male or female, that there may be added attractions here, because not everybody is going to appreciate said stimulation. Okay, notice how I'm walking around this very carefully. And why am I saying this? Because I know it to be true. It is something that you want to make sure if another person is involved, you know, which they may not be, and that's all fine and dandy too, but if they are, let them be aware that there could be added things happening here, because not everybody will like that or require it. So you might want to be just cautious with introducing
clearly
it into
a
situation.
Don't use any herbs without, thoroughly researching and consulting with your health practitioner.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, even outside, at all times, that should be maintained. That's what I'm saying is, in addition to making sure.
Oh, there was someone else I just remembered. Yeah. He had an issue with his, oh, I forget what it was called. Let me see if I can find it in the testimonials.
Okay.
But he used to also put it down there.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of this stuff does increase circulation, okay, and that is one of the key factors here. You know, no matter what your set is circulation. I mean, so you know, it makes sense that this is a workable thing. But again, your results may vary. You may not require it. You may not enjoy it. So just be cautious introducing somebody else to it. Make sure they're fully aware and informed as well. Okay. So that's all I'm saying.
I did find it. Here it is. It says, I suffer from chronic pelvic pain. It's deep inside the pelvis with intense anorectal pressure causing rectal spasm, difficulty passing bowels, urinating, radiating pain to the perineal testicle, urethral and penis areas. 6 months of hell so far. Physiotherapy, steroid injections, nerve blocks, and tons of meds offer little help. This cream is working wonders. If my pain is down, the spasms calm, neurological sympathetic guarding, and I'm able to use my faculties with greater ease. I feel like a Bengay type of burn, but softer and smoother. You can feel it penetrating for a couple hours. Knowing it's homemade and pure with no toxins brings more peace of mind. Christina, my name's Christy, but he wrote, Christina, thank you for helping me get better. So, yeah, it can stimulate if that's
that
what you're
very
looking
sexy.
For, or it
no.
could repair issues.
Definitely not, but we do have another caller, though, Christy, and we'll see if the topic changes direction or continues, because we got about...
Are we just having a big old orgy here?
I'm not, but, I don't know what you got going on for the rest of the night. That's up to you and anybody else on the line, but let's see what our friend, who I know is a legendary caller to the network, and Jimmy James, how you doing, man?
Oh, doing good.
Doing good. Excellent. So, what's on your mind for tonight?
Well, I'm just here to remind you, you both got major issues on the table that you haven't addressed.
Oh, okay,
go ahead. With Chris, it's the dog man, and with Tuck, you said you were physically assaulted Saturday. We need details of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Why do I feel like it's Friday?
Because you brought that up on Friday, the dog man situation where you were out camping. And, I brought up last night that something had happened, but... Where do you want to go, Christy? Do you want to talk about Dog Man? Do you want to continue on with our talk about a change in direction?
I pretty much told all there is to tell. I didn't even know that Dog Man was a thing. I never even heard the word before. I had the experience, and then a year later, somebody said, "Hey, have you heard of Dog Man?" And then that. Was when I described it, it seems to be that, but right. I don't know. It was dark. It was just like a shadow of a figure and more of a energetic come an inch closer and your dessert kind of thing. So I ran or backed off and then hurriedly walked as quietly as I could. And that's, I told you about my friend who actually might even be on the line here tonight, who was, when I'm telling him, get in the car, he thought that I was mad at him for not being out there enjoying the dark forest.
Okay, well, look, housekeeping...
Yeah, I'm the dumbass that was referenced.
Okay, fair enough.
Get in the car, and I'm panicking, but not panicking, because I couldn't, even use my voice. Right now, I'm just, get in the car.
Okay, fair enough. But that's pretty much all there is to the story, because you never actually...
Yeah, there's no big, cool YouTube story or late-night radio, There's no blood. There's no guts. I was terrified. It sent chills through my spine. It was the most creepy entity, I don't know what to call it, experience thing, whatever I've ever encountered in my life.
There is a guy on YouTube.
The only trauma involved in that story was me being like just a dumbass, being like, "What's wrong?" Just standing up, there, like, "Let him eat me." Let me stay out here and get eaten.
I have been in these situations. Yeah, no, I've been
He's
in these situations.
Kind of a contrarian. So if you say go, he'll stop. If you say let's leave, he'll stay. And, you know, there wasn't time to explain that there's some weird thing that I can't explain that I've never seen or heard of in my life that wants to eat us. You know, just get in the car was all I could muster up.
Right. Yeah,
did
so...
Did you have the aphrodisiacs on?
Were you smelling like you were good enough to eat because you had all this food smelling stuff on you that night, Christy, I guess is the question.
I was wearing my Hiker's Peak oil, which I wear in the woods, and I designed it so you smell like the woods, so you're not supposed to be eaten by bears, but apparently Dogman didn't know that.
Ah, okay. He missed the memo. Gotcha. Well, you know, who knows, because she didn't see. Could have been anything. But right,
it could have been, but those chills through my spine didn't just happen.
No, I understand,
but yeah, no, I'm not, I have no agenda to push. I'm not attached to is Dogman real or not, or versus a werewolf, or versus
Mothman,
a Bigfoot,
or
versus
knows,
a Sasquatch,
yeah.
Or a Loch Ness monster. I don't know. I think they're all real, probably, right? I think there's truth to all of it, and my experience happened. So you can call it whatever you want, but it happened, and it was not a bear, and it was not a wolf, and it was not a wild cat or wild pig, or and it was half man, bear, pig, half werewolf, half Tasmanian devil, half evil as I have ever seen.
That's
it
a
was
lot of
scary.
Hairs. Yeah. No, I get it, and
hopefully.
You know, they're, look, there's a lot of stuff there. And I'll tell you one thing. I am certain that there are beings that are not defined that kind of just seem to slip in and out of reality. I'm certain of that based on certain things I've seen. And I don't even know how to define some of the things that I've seen. So it's a possibility. And I'm the blind guy, by the way. So, but often when you're out in nature and you don't have the distractions of the white noise of the civilization, so to speak, you might take notice of things more often that might slip right on by you in other situations. So anything is possible. I don't know what to make of your story exactly, but I believe you. That's all I can tell you.
I got trouble once.
Oh, you did? So tell us about that, Jimmy James. Yeah.
I reported what I seen. So I put in the log, seen a pterodactyl.
Oh. Wow.
And then later on, the chief at the time, he told me, he says, "You idiot, that was a crane." And then later on, he showed me one. Yeah, it was a crane.
Well, that happens too, you know, where you don't necessarily understand what you're looking at. You know, people have thought they saw some crazy creature, and it turns out it was, you know, just a really large dog. You know, strange things like that. I've seen that. You know, I've seen that. But you never can tell. And the thing is, unless you film it, good luck trying to figure it out. And even then, sometimes you film things, and it's ambiguous as to what it is you're looking at, etc. So. You never can tell. I didn't know we were going this way, but a lot of things in nature, and you don't necessarily understand or know how to classify all of them, whether they're animal, vegetable, or mineral, right?
And I don't know of any non-tox dogmen repellents.
Well, there is. Yeah, we don't have a solution for that because we haven't had enough experience with dogmen, right?
There is dog repellent. Wouldn't that work?
I don't think it's a real dog.
Well, there you go.
I don't even know how it would got that name because there's nothing about it that looks like a dog.
Mm. Okay.
Well, the ones in Michigan, based on what the Indians said, basically what happened was it's like a man who was cursed to turn into a wolf. Like 1,000 years ago, there was some brave strutting around and he seen an old lady, and he said, "Greetings, hag. You look very beautiful today." "Thank you, young brave. Do you mean it?" "No." "Ha ha." And she said, "Oh, that's very amusing, young man. And now let me show you something amusing." Poof. Ooga booga. Now he's a dog man.
Yeah, so a werewolf, but not a wolf. It looked more. Wow. It didn't really look like a werewolf. You know, like hunched over, like Tasman. You know, not like a real dog or wolf to me. So,
yeah. You know, I always take a lesson. I always take a lesson from these kind of things, and a very good one is be very cautious about which woman you decide to piss off. Because you never know what you're going to get out of it. So that's the lesson I take. Thanks. You know.
All right. So anyone have any nature-related questions or inflation solution-related how-to?
Well, I still wanted to know how Chuck got beat up on Saturday.
Oh, I didn't get beat up. Now. I didn't say that. And I said it off the top of my head when I was thinking out loud last night. And I don't know. I think I should save that for Friday, maybe. But if you really want to know, I mean, I'll just give you a condensed story, unless you want to wait for Friday. your choice?
Both. Just give me the one sentence synopsis for now, the cliff notes, and then we'll save the real deal for Friday.
All right. Well, it comes down to this.
Yeah.
It comes down to this. Kim's daughter was staying with us, not my daughter, but hers from a previous marriage, and they got into a fight rather suddenly, which I've tried to stay out of the whole thing while she was staying with us, and so I stepped out of my office here and tried to split them apart because they were physically engaged, let's put it that way. And when I did so, I got punched in the eye twice for my efforts.
Hey, that's what cops say. Cops say don't ever fool with family. What do they say? They say, oh man, you go to these domestic disputes, you get killed.
Yeah, well, I'm stupid like that, and I just wanted to disengage them from each other was all I was trying to do, and so I got hit twice. And they, look, the good news is that I didn't snap to my normal reaction, which, frankly, my PTSD had me conditioned for many years, and it might have been a quick flash before I even knew what I was doing, and somebody might have gotten harmed by me. That would have been my normal reaction. And in this case, I thought I just thought it, but apparently I said out loud, are you kidding? You're actually hitting me? I didn't react violently, and continue to defuse the situation, which I'm kind of, grateful to the mushrooms for having, allowed me to reorganize my instincts. Because my normal instinct would have been I would have had probably both of my hands around this 20-year-old girl's throat and done some damage before I even knew what was happening. But that didn't happen. Instead, I was controlled, and I took the hits and didn't react violently. So there's the good news on it and the Cliff Notes version. How's that? And we can talk about it more on Friday if you like.
Nice. I mean, terrible.
You may need to hear a sermon at the Ozarks Church in Asia.
Well, I always need one of those. So, I do not live perfectly according to plan. Wish I could, and and I seriously respect what Christy does over there, and what she is doing, and the information she's sharing, which is why we're doing this. But we will at some point maybe have a discussion between me and Christy about the psilocybin, but I've already done a series on the experience, and I'm still experiencing positive results from it. I have a great deal more control, which is what the PTSD was wrestling away from me, and it is something that occurs naturally on this planet, psilocybin, which I was gifted from some listeners who I will not name, even if there were issues regarding that, I will not give them up, and that's that, because they gifted me something to heal me, and I am eternally grateful, and you saved my life if you are listening right now, and I know at least one of them is. So there you go. You saved my life with a gift, and it continues to keep on giving. So I know that sounds strange. I know it sounds strange. I took two punches in the face, and I'm grateful, but I actually am. I was the kind of guy that you do something like that to me, I might have killed you. And I don't want to do that. So I'm extremely grateful that I have seized control from that thing which was eating me up for about 30 years. So, and I will continue to remain grateful for it, to nature, to the individuals who enabled it, and everything. Thank you.
Hey, that is a big accomplishment, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, good job keeping your patients under fire. Holy cow.
Yeah, that
I wouldn't have been able to.
That was not normally my default. I mean, I used to be able to do it when I had a job as a bouncer. I could take a lot of crap. I mean, I was never shot or anything. I was cut a couple of times, but it took a great deal of effort to not just, you know, and I'll be honest, sometimes I lost that battle to not seriously harm somebody who was harming me, even though it wasn't my job, you know, to break somebody's arm when they did that or whatever. Occasionally shit happened. So, you know, but it took a great deal of effort to not do that, and this actually... This was a lot easier. I had a lot more control of my senses, even though I was being attacked. So that is it was very weird and strange for me. But again, this is something that does relate to the topic tonight, because this is a medicine which, you know, the government would deny you.
I hope to partake in that.
Sorry,
I wanted to get the updates on that, but I'll just hang up and hopefully you guys could get back to the natural stuff there.
No, I appreciate it, but I think it is on topic enough that it's worthy of mention. I'm sorry I took up time there, Christy, but I think it is a necessary. Look, if you are ailing, and I think this is a lesson that anybody can take, if you are ailing from anything that is, you know, as they say, chronic, one way or another, whether it's pain or it's depression or it's, you know, other issues that seem to be unyielding, that, you know, look, you can't find a way for the allopathic medicine to deal with it, because mostly what they do is mask what the symptoms are as opposed to dealing with it. I assure you just one thing, even that which appears to be impossible, there is likely a natural solution that you can find. It may be a little elusive. It may be difficult to put your hands on. Some things might be right at your feet when you walk out your door, but it exists. The earth has already provided it. And it's just a matter of utilizing it. And I think that is the ultimate lesson that comes from all these discussions with Christy. And I feel as though I'm living Amen. Proof of it. So... because I felt like I was dying inside before I took that stuff. I felt like I it was over. I was being crushed from inside. No more.
Have you done a show about this that I haven't heard? Or do you plan to do a show about this?
There's a whole series.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm going to go back to the archives.
Yeah,
check that out.
Yeah, it's on.
Seekers, you got, do you have a membership?
No.
Yeah,
well, you know what? The psilocybin, look, the psilocybin discussion is on YouTube. They didn't take it down even. I did 6 hours with Captain Trips discussing why I needed to do it, how the experience was, and the aftermath immediately, what the result was. And I'm giving no advice. I'm not telling anybody to do it. I'm not telling anybody. I don't give an amount. I don't tell you how to acquire it. It's not any of my business. It's not any of anybody's business. But I describe what the situation was.
I came close to being able to do it recently, but then things changed. But yeah, no, it's something I've always been very curious about, and I think it would help me quite a bit. But
well,
let's see what happens.
And as we always advise here, I did
Christy,
some.
I know you. Ooh,
sorry. Well, no, just really, really quickly, Jimmy James, before you turn to Christy, I just want to say something here, and that is that I advised, as I always do and as we do on every one of these shows, that this is not you know, something I'm directing you to do, I would say to you that you find your own solutions, but they are out there. And like I said, I don't recommend an amount. I don't recommend exactly how to do this or anything else. I just described my situation, my experience, and the result, which I took three shows to do. And the reason why I chose Captain Trips, I know it's funny. It sounds like, you know, what did we name him that? No, he named himself that, and he's actually a nurse practitioner who I engaged with. I did my own research ahead of time and devised my own plan and looked at the risks and everything else involved, and also looked at my own circumstance, and was well informed going in, to my best knowledge, and I feel as though I did the right thing for myself. And this may not be the solution for anybody else even, but I tell you, it worked for me, and I sense that it could be beneficial in some way to other people. And even now, the Pentagon is starting to experiment with this. We have other academic studies reopening regarding psychedelics, actually, in general, for depression and PTSD. It is something that, if it's scientifically worth examining, even from a very mainstream point of view, I would say to you, yeah, it might be worth examining for you. And I would advise at no time that anybody takes any path that I do. Make and choose your own. But okay, Jimmy James, sorry, you were going to say something else.
Oh, yes. Well, I know Christy is a cat person. I strongly suspect that my cat is unhappy at me about something. First, she vomited all... all over my bed, and then as soon as I cleaned that up, I came back and she took a dump in my bed.
That's not Amber Heard, is it?
So then I cleaned that up. I'm just curious, any idea what her problem is?
Yeah, Chris.
Well, with cats, you have to ask, what's your problem? Because... yeah, they're not always easy to figure out. But yeah, they definitely will let you know if they have a problem with you. So are the boxes not clean enough? Is she getting enough outside time? Are you showing her enough attention? Did you change her food recently? Or, you know what I mean? Like, assess...
I don't let her outside. She's a strictly indoor cat.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So are her boxes and her areas kept immaculate like they like?
They better be, because I pay my brother to take care of that.
Okay, so, I mean, are you spending time with her or leaving her for long periods?
Yeah, well, yeah,
yeah, I think Jimmy James spends a lot of time with his cat, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, that's... You know,
I didn't hear a lot of that.
Sorry, he was saying that he spends most of his time in his room, and so does she. Look, it's kind of difficult to dissect, though, isn't it?
Is she like, unhappy with your roommates, or...?
No, I mean, we have the whole floor to ourselves. Mm. It's just my dad and brother. I mean, she's okay with them, but, you know...
Different food. Does she have enough toys, enough entertainment?
I try to give her toys, but she does some... You know, the thing she likes the most is hair ties. I give her hair ties to play with.
I don't know if a cat in a room... So my first cat, I mean, of all of this dynasty, I should say... I lived in a barn, a room in a barn. And so she was basically locked in her... In fact, my whole house at that time was smaller than my bedroom here. And she was not happy. You know, like, they have to be entertained, whether they're looking out a window, staring at birds, or even... some of those electric toys where they have like a fake mouse go around a circle or something like that. If you don't have the time, or the fishing pole things, like they do, they need exercise and they need, you know, to get express their their energy. So I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I would definitely ask you to assess all of those things first. And then if you want to, cats don't like peppermint, right? They also, they're like lavender and lemon balm will kind of calm them down. But yeah, they hate clove. They basically hate any type of sprays. So where she is pooping, you can use those deterrent sprays like we talked about earlier. And you can also try foil as a deterrent, you know, from the location. And then just make sure the boxes are clean and check in next week.
Oh, I forgot one thing that may be going on. It sounds crazy. But, yeah, it turns out all those years I was chewing, so she was too. Like when little pieces of chew would drop, she's eating it. Oh, and I guess I didn't realize that until I switched to the little pouches. Mm-hmm. And then she was like freaking out. I was like, what's your problem?
Oh, withdrawal symptoms.
Oh, that's hilarious. Have you given her catnip?
She's a nicotine addict, though. Mm.
Well, there you go. Okay, or try catnip, maybe.
Yeah, my.
Well, this years. I mean, I'm just saying. I just thought it was odd that she does. She maybe what? Even a couple years later, you think she's like still mad about not getting her chew?
Maybe. I've had problems with my mom cat recently. And I'll just say she's definitely increased my daily poop duties.
Me too.
Well, there's a way to go for the end of the show, cat poop. All right. But again, you know, you want to live in harmony with all the things around you, especially if you choose to have a pet and they live with you too. So it's a good idea to pay attention to all the things that could be going into this. I mean, what is the quality of the water? Has anything changed? I was curious, maybe you were burning some new herbs and stuff lately. Maybe she just pissed off at that because you had recently gotten some stuff that's good for you, but maybe she doesn't like it. Is that a possibility?
Oh, she definitely doesn't like anything fire-related or smoke. Okay. She, like, moves away, and she never liked that, so that's not surprising.
Mm. Yeah, well, my dogs, if you let them, they'll eat cigarettes. I can't figure that one out, but they do it, especially Lucy, the older of the small dogs. Good God, I don't know why. She steals cigarette butts all the time, and... now Bonnie's starting to steal cigarettes too, and it's hilarious. I just put up a video of Bonnie the puppy on YouTube, by the way, for no apparent reason. She's just up there on the Ocelli Effect channel. I just put her there because she's my favorite little dog. But yeah, they all have their own agendas too, and I like dogs better because they're pack animals. But also cats make me sick. I haven't been able to sort that just yet, but. What's that?
Sometimes they eat poop, too.
Yeah, not my dogs. I've seen it before, but not my current animals. They don't. But, again, it's a very basic thing because some of that still has nutrients in it, so they're just reacquiring the nutrients. I what can you do? We all do things that are odd, and your animals will be no exception. So, not saying, anyway, I'm not going to go there because that'll go weird. And you know what? We're actually out of time. So,
this show really pooped out.
Nice. Nice. Christy.
I agree. We're going to have to continue this topic because, yeah, we didn't talk about, like, deodorant, toothpaste, like, all of the essentials people, you know, like, we need to give you some tangible information. person.
Right.
It could make your life easier during these hard times.
We only got to laundry soap, right? But there's a lot of other things that you could create. And thanks to Kevin on that. And, of course, Chris turned it into aphrodisiacs, etc. And Jimmy James brought it back around to cat poop. So, you know, full circle. What can I say? ChristyAphrodite.com. You might be listening to the show over there. It's mirrored in the chat over at ChristyAphrodite.com. The same chat room I have at Ocelli.com, but also MyTrueEssence.net. Go there, check out the information first, and make decisions for yourself about things that might be a lot more natural and a lot more friendly to you and everything around you. And that's that for tonight. See you again next, see you again tomorrow, but be back with Christy next week, hopefully. And hopefully you will too.